Well, Thursday morning has arrived. Good morning. It is March 14th, 2024, Thursday. Yes. I'm the BBG, Richie Allen. Thank you for downloading the podcast or for streaming it. I appreciate you, I tell you. I really do. Straight to the front pages of the UK's newspapers. The Guardian. The Guardian has a photograph of Naomi Campbell adorning the front page. She looks well, does Naomi? She looks very well. I think there's some documentary in the offing. I think that might be the case. Naomi was one of the legendary supermodels, remember? Can you name them, or some of them, the hugely popular, hugely famous in any case, supermodels? So you had Naomi, you had Cindy Crawford, you had Christy Turlington, you had Linda Evangelista, you had Heidi Klum, and I can't remember anymore. There you are. But yeah, they were big news, weren't they, in the 1990s. George Michael produced a video for the single Freedom, didn't he? It was an amazing video with many of these models featuring in it. And if I remember, it was played morning, noon and night on MTV for about a year. So Naomi Campbell looking well. Abbott accuses Tories of playing race card as Hester Rowe intensifies. So this is really the biggest news story of the week. The Tory donor Frank Hester, incredibly wealthy man who in the last 12 months gave £10 million to the Conservative Party. In a meeting which took place some years ago, he was recorded and heard saying that Diane Abbott, who was then a Labour MP, made him want to hate all black women and that she should be shot. Idiot, as we've said more than once this week, but they've made a big mountain out of a molehill here. Diane herself is currently suspended by the Labour Party over allegations that she said something anti-Semitic. She didn't. She didn't say anything of the sort. It is a mad world we inhabit now. Anyway, she was quoted yesterday. She's spoken out about the whole affair and said that basically the Conservative Party is playing the race card ahead of the election. She cited the Rwanda asylum policy and an increased focus on extremism. Diane Abbott says extremism is the Tories' code word for Muslims. So they're playing culture wars and they are playing the race card, she says, ahead of the election. And she probably has a point, does Diane Abbott, no doubt about that. Now, The Guardian also alleges that some Tory MPs have broken ranks and have called for Frank Hester's £10 million to be returned. The Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, said yesterday, no, we won't be sending back the money. We'll come to extremism in a moment. That was The Guardian. Cheltenham is on at the moment. And the Daily Mirror has a free £2 bet. That's the claim on the front page. £2 bet today with William Hill. Number of other tabloids are offering free bets pretty much every day. Willie Mullins, the Irish trainer, celebrating his 100th win at the Cheltenham Festival. And the photograph on the front page of the Mirror is of the jockey Rachel Blackmore, who's an amazing jockey by all accounts. I know nothing about horse racing, but I do read the papers. I am a journalist, so I know that Rachel Blackmore, well, has broken through a lot of glass ceilings, hasn't she, in recent years, doing amazing things for women's sport and for female athletes. Yes, she had another win or two, maybe three. I don't know. She had a win yesterday. In any case, a new low is the Mirror headline. Photograph of Frank Hester on one side of the page and on the other side of the page, Rishi Sunak. Same story, a new low for the Tories. And the Mirror reports on Hope Not Hate, which is a charity, which is a laughable claim, by the way. Hope Not Hate is not a charity. It's a political attack dog with ties to the State of Israel and other nefarious parties. It's an organisation, Hope Not Hate, which seeks to shut down free speech in the UK by accusing everybody and anybody of fostering or whipping up hatred. So the Mirror focuses on this group today. I'll come back to it because I've got the story to hand. The I headline is Tory reliance on race row, major donor revealed. So what's this about then? It's the same bloody story, isn't it? Major donor revealed. It does 21%. Oh, 21% of the Conservative Party's election war chest comes from Frank Hester. The Oi paper says he's given £10.2 million of the £48 million the party has received in the past year. Okay, the Daily Telegraph. Photograph is Zara, one of the royals. Zara Phillips, is that her name? It's not Zara Phillips anymore, is it? She's married to Mike Tyndall, so it's Zara Tyndall. She's a cousin of William and Harry, isn't she? She's obviously been at Cheltenham. There is a photograph of her, looking very masculine, actually, in a suit. Yeah, yeah, she's a horsey woman too. Headline on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Gove to identify Muslim groups as extremists. We'll come back to that in a moment, no doubt. Daily Mail. Shapps backs spending 3% on our defence is the headline. Shapps backs spending 3% on our defence. Minister calls for cash boost for more dangerous world. The Defence Secretary, Grant Shapps, according to the Mail, wants an increase in the UK's defence spending to 3% of GDP, gross domestic product. He's visited Poland, a NATO country that is spending 4% of its GDP on defence. Shapps said we need more money for the army to match the threat posed by Russia. There's no threat to the UK from Russia. What a load of bollocks. Also on the front page of the Daily Mail is the photograph of a woman called Samantha Brick. I've never been dumped because I understand what men really want, she says. Sex on tap. That's what it is. Sex on tap, sex on demand. That's what men really want. That's what real men want. Real, red-blooded, you know, Gary Cooper, John Wayne type men of yesteryear. The men that are supposed to be toxic and hateful and dangerous. We want sex round the clock. Actually, as I approach my 50th birthday, that's not true. I don't even think it ever was true. But what do men really want? I don't know. Can't speak for all men. I'll tell you what I want. Sex, drugs and Man United. Financial Times. Washington held secret talks with Iran in push to halt Red Sea attacks. So this is a claim that US operatives representing the US government met with their Iranian counterparts in January to persuade the Iranian government to pressure the Houthi rebels to stop attacking shipping in the Red Sea. That's according to the Financial Times. I can't tell, because I haven't seen the article, even though I do subscribe to all the newspapers, whether there was any success in what came from that meeting. I don't know. It's the Daily Express. Migrant flight plans to Rwanda in good place. So the Daily Express claims the Home Office sources, or sources working for the Home Office, have told the Express that plans to get the first deportation flights off the ground to Rwanda are in a good place, they say. We'll leave that one there. The Times, deaths from cancer in middle age fall by a third. Deaths from cancer in middle age fall by a third is the headline. Research shows that cancer deaths in middle-aged adults have fallen by a third since the 1990s, according to the Times. As the paper says, the fall has been attributed to screening programs that are catching bowel, breast and cervical cancers earlier, as well as a golden era of medical breakthroughs. And these have enabled people to survive cancers that would previously have been terminal. But yes, through 2020 and 21, those lovely screening programs, they weren't happening, were they? And a lot of people are dying from cancer now. And that's the truth of it. At Metro, headline is Shame on You. Excuse me. Headline Metro is Shame of You. Shame of You. And this is about the conviction of a family of four super touts who made over £6 million in 3 years by reselling TIG. Oh, Richie. I'm tired. It's early. They made £6.5 million in 3 years by reselling tickets to gigs by artists, including Ed Sheeran, Lady Gaga and Little Mix. The Metro says the group used 127 names and 198 email addresses to buy 47,000 tickets before selling them at vastly inflated prices. It adds that in one message they were seen saying they aimed to rinse consumers for as much profit as they were willing to pay. The Daily Star headline is Titanic Part 2. And this is a claim that a billionaire is spending a fortune building an exact replica of the Titanic. The paper, The Star, notes that the Titanic was famously a not very floaty ship and asks what could possibly go wrong. Those were the front pages of today's newspapers. Let us now meander our way inside the same papers and see what they've got of interest. Now, there is a very interesting one in the Times about casual racism. And before I open it up, I should have done this before recording, but I didn't have a chance. I'm in a bit of a pickle this morning. I'm kind of busy, you know. So Trevor Phillips then. Let's see if we can... I can't find it. How do you spell it? It's with even. One L, is it? Anyway, look, I'm all over the place. Let me just read you the bloody story. Casual racism still going unchallenged in boardrooms. This is an opinion piece by Trevor Phillips for The Times. Trevor Phillips is a former equality czar. He's a black gentleman. These days, a government advisor. These days, he presents Trevor Phillips on Sunday for Sky News, which is a political analysis programme which goes out every Sunday morning at 8:30 on Sky News. And it's important to remember he's black. Right. He writes for The Times about Frank Hester, the donor to the Tory party. There's nothing particularly unusual about Hester's casual racism. From a review of my own inbox, such remarks are commonplace in our country. Any person of colour in corporate Britain who professes themselves astonished by Hester's remarks has either lived an unfeasibly sheltered life or is simply lying to get on TV. Wait for this, he writes. We've all had things said in our presence which we know are only a pale echo of what can be heard when we, he means black people, are not in the room. A few months ago at a party for a close friend, a fellow guest leaned across the table and said confidentially, "Honestly, Trevor, don't you agree with me? There really are too many Asian women presenting the TV news." More recently, I suggested at a meeting of an organisation that many of our members had unrealistic expectations based on their own typically rather comfortable circumstances. A fellow board member responded, "Yes, but I doubt that your home life is like most of theirs." He wasn't saying he thinks I live in a palace. It may be that Hester thought he was being funny. Not so long ago, I had to invite a political colleague to desist from repeatedly referring to the supposed sexual prowess of black men in my presence. I'm sure he thought he was flattering me with the stereotype. I offered him a choice, pack it in or get a farewell knuckle sandwich. People do learn, we remain friends. So some bloke made some jokes about black guys being better in the sack than white men. And Phillips said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to hit you. The guy learned his lesson and they're still friends. And he goes on to talk about how these things, like Frank Hester making remarks about Diane Abbott, they happen when black people are not in the room or if there isn't anybody in the room with the clout to challenge the boss's bigotry. He goes on to say, I want to take issue with something he said in his article earlier on, or something he wrote. He said, somebody leaned across the table and said confidentially, honestly, Trevor, don't you agree with me? There really are too many Asian women presenting the TV news. BBC News 24 has descended into farce. It's the competition to Sky News, which is Rupert Murdoch's, well, it used to be, News Corp's 24-hour news channel even in the UK, right? Sky News, Kay Burley and... Right, you know Sky News. So BBC News 24 is the rival. It has descended into utter farce. Do an experiment. Check in with BBC News 24 every hour on the hour for 2 or 3 days in a row this week or next week. And it is filled to the brim with young female Asian or from an Asian background presenters. Last week there was a young woman who looked like she had originated in West Africa or had come from West Africa. Why do I say that? Why could it not be that she had been born in this country? Maybe she was second or third generation. Because she had an extraordinarily heavy or thick African accent to the point that it was actually difficult to understand what she was saying. It is a farce. It is positive discrimination. It is the BBC deciding what we're going to do to address the gender balance or imbalance and racial imbalance or balance is we are going to pack our schedule with young Asian women reading the news. It's ridiculous. So how could it be in any way racist or bigoted for somebody at a party to ask Phillips, what the fuck is going on at the BBC? It's hardly racist. I don't care, you see. I'm approaching 50. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm completely independent of these organisations and I feel completely comfortable asking these questions. But there will be people at the BBC who may be being passed over, you know, for young Asian women to be put in front of the camera who won't be able to ask these questions and say, what the hell is going on there? Do it for me for the crack. Watch BBC News 24. Don't watch it constantly. It'll be unbearable. But dip in and out of it on any given day and look at the presenters. It's a joke. And Trevor Phillips is an idiot. Anyway, The Telegraph. Muslim groups that incite hatred to be named as extremists by government. So Michael Gove, the community secretary, is going to, and this will be covered today by the aforementioned news channels. You'll be able to watch this live. He's going to stand up in the House of Commons and basically set out a new definition of extremism. He's going to focus on non-violent extremism, which officials will use to identify and publish groups. They'll publish groups and names of people and groups, far right and Islamist, and they'll say these are extremist groups, and officials will be instructed to cut off all government funding to these groups and block all meetings with these groups to ensure you are not inadvertently giving them a platform or legitimacy to advance extremist ideologies. So this is absolutely disgusting, isn't it? And I know this all too well. We've had this on the Richie Allen Show, where the Conservative Party told its MPs not to appear, and its peers in the House of Lords and former MPs were told several years ago not to continue to appear on the Richie Allen Show, because by doing so you were giving a platform to extremist ideologies, because the Richie Allen Show has had some people on the show in the past that are extremist, and therefore you shouldn't be going on, because if you go on the show you lend the Richie Allen Show a sense of credibility and you are inadvertently helping to advance extremism. So this has been going on for years, but now they're making it official. You know, it's disgusting. It is so fucking disgusting. And there is little or no pushback against it. You might have heard Miriam Cates, the Conservative Party MP, saying this is terrible. You know, it's ultimately going to be a big net that's going to be thrown over anybody who takes issue or takes umbrage with government policy. Anybody, you know, whether it be conservative Christians, whether it be people talking about immigration, whether it be people talking about medicines and the safety of medicines. It is absolutely horrible, this. And Gove is going to deliver this afternoon, and it opens the door for governments to declare any group or any person to be an extremist, and therefore they should never receive funding, but more importantly, nobody should have anything to do with them. Now, the Muslim Council of Great Britain said last night that they will take legal action, or they will consider it, if they were named by Gove. And that's interesting. We'll watch that carefully. The Muslim Council of Great Britain says, we won't put up with this. We won't be accepting it where the government can say we're extremists and therefore nobody should have anything to do with us. We'll watch this today, and we'll probably talk about it on the Richie Allen Show later on this afternoon. Gove said yesterday, "The pervasiveness of extremist ideologies has become increasingly clear in the aftermath of the October 7th attacks and poses a real risk to the security of our citizens and our democracy." He's a fucking liar. He's a scumbag and a liar. What we have seen since October 7th is a genocide in Gaza, the slaughter of tens of thousands of innocent men, women and children. And as a result of that, we've seen British men, women and children from all backgrounds, every ethnicity, every ideological belief, Jewish people, Muslims, Christians, taking to the streets to say, "Not in our name. There is nothing extremist about it. Gove is a scumbag, and something needs to be done about Gove and his like." And by his like, I mean all 650 of the fucking tyrants in Westminster. They need to be driven to the sea. They need to be put on boats and exiled, every one of them. There's the extremists right there. The people who forced lockdowns on society and forced vaccines on people that have killed them, that have left a wake of destruction, myocarditis, cancers, turbo cancers, terrible illnesses, people dropping dead like flies because of extremists in Westminster, the scum of the earth. How dare they say that we reserve the right to say who is and who isn't extremist based on their opinions? How dare they use Orwellian terms like non-violent extremism, which means thought crimes? We're going after thought crimes, people's feelings, how people view what it is that we do around the world. We can't have them criticizing us. Therefore, we're going to invent new language to suppress them and to undermine them. I hate every one of them. I really do. Anyway, exile. The day will come, please God, if God exists, when millions of people will march to their institutions and tell them loudly, "Get the fuck out. Be gone and don't ever come back." It should be peaceful. It should be non-violent. In the opinion of this broadcaster, these traitors, these enemies of the people, how dare they? How dare they say that the Richie Allen Show harbours extremists and anti-Semites, therefore nobody should support it or him and nobody should go on the programme? And that's exactly what they did back in 2020, as they did it before that. You know, deleting people's channels and PayPal deleting my account. How dare they? At the behest of the British government, by the way. Do you know that? Do you know that PayPal deleted me and said I could never again have a PayPal account? And that was at the behest of the British government. This is the world we live in. Yeah, it's early, Richie, it's early. 6:46, calm down. The Guardian. UK government accused of trying to stoke culture war on climate issues. This is another maniac. Caroline Lucas, a Green Party MP, says that by announcing investment in new gas-fired power plants before a general election, that the government is stoking a culture war on the climate. So the government said, look, we need a few new plants in the coming years. We're committed to net zero, said the government. We really are. And we really are committed to phasing out fossil fuels. But to avoid blackouts as we approach the net zero reality, we need to have one or two new gas-fired power plants so that we don't have blackouts and we don't have chaos because of that. So the Greens have jumped on this to say that this is a culture war, that we can't be building gas-powered or gas-fired power plants. You know that this is basically reneging on our legally binding target to reduce emissions to net zero by 2050. And really, ultimately, what net zero means. And Caroline Lucas really is a maniac. So they're kicking off like children because the government says we'll build new power plants. Don't worry about it. I would say to Caroline Lucas, don't worry about it. The Conservative Party is dead. It's as dead as a dodo. Labour will need lead the next government. It might even need you to prop it up. It might need to form a coalition. But when Labour comes in, it will reverse all of these Tory promises. It won't happen. Net zero is the end of manufacturing. It is the end of agriculture. It is the end of tourism and the end of life as we know it. It is death. Net zero is death. Death of life. Death of birth. And a fucking prison for every man, woman and child on the planet. That's what net zero is. It's the end. If they're allowed. Follow it through. And it's up to people in the next 5 to 10 years to stop it. And you won't stop it at the ballot box. You will not stop it at the ballot box. It's got to be stopped by other means. The Mirror. A radical right surging amid Tory chaos. Nigel Farage on I'm a Celebrity and Elon Musk's toxic Twitter. So The Mirror is running a story about Hope Not Hate. Hope Not Hate, as I said, is a laughable organisation, but it's dangerous. Okay, run by a group of men, mostly, who spend all year trolling the internet and accusing people of extremism and of hatred. I mean, it's fucking laughable to be accusing people of hatred. Hope Not Hate, it's laughable. And it produces a report every year called State of Hate. And yes, the Richie Allen Show is mentioned every year. It really is. I don't know about this year, 2024. I haven't looked at it. I never do look at it. I just, somebody will usually send me an email saying, oh, you've been mentioned again. Anybody who's ever listened to the Richie Allen Show, there's no hatred there. We spend most of our time on the Richie Allen Show taking the piss out of these agendas, don't we? So Hope Not Hate says that Nigel Farage and the Tories and Elon Musk on Twitter are stoking fear and anger and generating hate. Hatred. Non-violent extremism. Again, it's all about thought crime. They've had a go at Suella Braverman. They've had a go at the Rwanda flights and all of that. Hate is everywhere. We need to deal with hate. Of course, you can't deal with hate. Hate is a legitimate emotion. There are good reasons to hate. It isn't healthy, but there are good reasons. I hate Matt Hancock. I hate Sir Keir Starmer. I hate them because I know who they are and what they do. Every fibre of my being, every cell in my body is filled with hatred for who they are. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly legitimate to hate them. Look at what they've done in the last 4 years alone. Look at what they've done to people. What am I supposed to do? Like them? Am I supposed to sympathise with them? They will tell you, of course, well, why don't you stand on a platform and stand for election? Go and fuck off. What chance do I have of being elected? Number one. And then am I going to swear never-ending, undying loyalty to a jug-eared fucking paedophile lover in Buckingham Palace in order to be allowed to enter Parliament? Really? No, I'll sit nice and comfortably with my hatred for these people in Westminster, and I will spend the rest of my days on the Richie Allen Show as best as I can to expose what it is they do and how they do it. Thank you very much. So that's The Mirror. Hatred is everywhere. The Telegraph. Lockdown impacts spread far and wide, admits COVID inquiry chairman. Heather Hallett is not a fucking man. Why did they refer to her as chairman? Anyway, this is very interesting. They're in Wales at the moment, the COVID inquiry. And she's been questioning Mark Drakeford, the First Minister of Wales at the time. He might still be the First Minister of Wales. And while she was questioning him, she noted that lockdown had affected everything, including mental health, children's development and schooling. Yeah, not to mention the economy, numbnuts. Not to mention all the screening that didn't happen, you know, in 2020 and 21, which has killed people who might have been treated had they, you know, had those procedures when they should have had them. According to The Telegraph, her intervention came on Wednesday after The Telegraph had revealed a group of leading scientists said the inquiry was fundamentally biased and was not examining the costs of national shutdowns. As Drakeford, the outgoing leader of Welsh Labour, gave evidence, Hallett asked Wakeford if he had sought out alternative opinions to those of government scientists arguing for lockdown. This is the first proper question she's asked in 12 months. She actually asked Drakeford, another wanker, right? Did you seek out alternative opinions to those of government scientists who argued for lockdown? So this intervention is being seen as an attempt to address concerns over bias. She said, let's take lockdowns. It's the most controversial non-pharmaceutical intervention. Suppose you have advisors who say, right, we've got to lock down, and you are conscious of all the impacts of lockdown on people. We all know they spread far and wide, mental health, child development, education and everything. By just following your expert, who happens to be in the pro-lockdown camp, you're never listening to an expert who may say, well, wait a minute, lockdown is not necessary. For example, those who signed the Great Barrington Declaration. So did you deny yourself the alternative argument? This is a brilliant question, and the first question this woman has asked that is in any way legitimate. She brought up the Great Barrington Declaration. I can hardly believe it. So, Mr. Drakeford in Wales, did you only listen to the dickheads who said we must lock down? Or did you ignore those who signed the Great Barrington Declaration? What did he say? Well, he lied. I mean, politicians. How do you know a politician is lying? His lips are moving. The Great Barrington Declaration, by the way, was signed in October 2020 by hundreds of scientists who argued against lockdowns. So what did Drakeford respond? How did he respond? Well, he lied. He said the issue was widely debated. Fucking liar. She should have jumped up from her position and bitch-slapped the bejesus out of him for lying to her face. It was not widely debated. He then went on to say it was a slippery slope to start listening to other advice, and the Welsh government cannot pick and choose the scientific advice it gets. But the Welsh government did pick and choose the government, excuse me, the advice it received. It did pick and choose the advice it received. It listened and listened only to lockdown zealots and completely ignored the legions of scientists with some of them with very impressive credentials who said don't lock down. She should have leapt up from the bench, leaped across at Baroness Hallett and kicked him in the fucking ding-ding right in the test days. You lying bastard. You lying fucker, I would have said to him. I'm angry about this, as you can hear this morning, because of the damage it's done to people. Not to mention the vaccines that many young people took to be allowed travel and go on holidays in the summer of 2021. These are bastards, these people. These are evil. Unimaginably, how dare Drakeford say the issue was widely debated? Oh my God. I'd love 5 minutes alone with Mark Drakeford. And I know I'm a hypocrite. Then I say I'm a non-violent. I'm not violent. I wouldn't lay a hand on him. TikTok is all the rage on the BBC. A news website. You might be wondering why I haven't mentioned it. US House passes bill that could ban TikTok nationwide. The US House of Representatives has passed a landmark bill that could see TikTok banned in America. It would give the social media giant's Chinese parent company ByteDance 6 months to sell its controlling stake, or the app would be blocked in the US. You've probably been following that. It was founded in 2012. Lawmakers are concerned about China's influence over TikTok, even though there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that China is in any way exerting any influence on TikTok. We might come back to it later on Thursday's Richie Allen Show. Those were the papers for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. I'm Richie Allen, the BBG. Have a great Thursday. Join me at 4 for the show. Bye now.